Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. This is the bi-weekly show for singles and people who are dating, who are interested in applying the rules of engagement as we know them and all the best wisdom we have from years of the Right Foundation's relationship work to the wild world of singlehood. I'm Kate Holmquist.
And I'm Rachel Swall.
And we're glad you're here today. This is our second episode in 2 weeks, and we're excited to take on another topic, which is the waiting game. And, of course, we choose topics that we are interested in personally sorting out. So you can just assume that everything is coming from some sort of autobiographical place for us. And the question we wanted to consider today was what to do when there's no closure. This is a topic that's been a subject of conversation among my friends and people in my circle and, you know, close to me personally. And there are really two levels of it, one of which is you're in a relationship and you've got some conflict and you have different ideas about when, where, how it should be resolved. Like, should we even have the fight? Should we have it now? Should we have it later?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go to bed angry? You know, is that an okay rule in a relationship or should you really resolve things immediately? And then there's also kind of the larger relationship question, which is more the one I've been in lately and been in conversation about, which is, you know, we've heard about ghosting and, you know, the various ways people kind of go dark in our modern mediated forms of getting to know people.
Mm.
And so the question that's been up in my circle has been, how do you deal with that? How do you handle yourself, your feelings, and the interaction when someone isn't, like, giving you the gift of closure?
Yeah.
What do you need to create for yourself, or how do you move on, or how do you navigate in that situation? So
yeah. We
can take it from both those places. I don't know what guys sit and talk about at park benches and things, but this is what the ladies are wondering.
No, absolutely. And for me, it's like, you know, I've noticed in my relationships that if there's a conflict, if there's any sort of fight, I want to go at it until it's resolved.
Yeah.
And I have this feeling that's like, you know, I can't rest. I can't be with you until we've moved through whatever this is. Obviously, I can, but there's something that feels really difficult to me about sitting and sort of being in a different space without punishing, without being irresponsible if I haven't moved through a conflict. And I think I have this fear that, you know, if we don't resolve it now, it'll never be resolved. Now is the time.
So it's beyond just, wow, I feel weird sitting here cuddling or talking about normal things when there's this thing brewing between us. It's, if not now, when?
Yeah. It's like it has to be now or it can't, or it'll never happen. And I have had, and, you know, it's a pattern in relationships that I want to talk about something now, and then often, you know, the guy that I'm with wants to talk about it at some later time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something I'm curious. We have a couple guys calling in with questions, so I'll be curious to hear their perspectives and where they're coming from.
Great. I've got an opinion, but we'll save my opinion to after we've gotten some more information and a balanced perspective. So if you have a question, feel free to message us in the meantime. We're always happy to take questions for future shows as well as to see what we can work in the time we have today. So let's see who we have to hear from.
Wonderful. Well, we have a caller on the line asking, how do you know when to continue the fight or when it's time to move on? So let's hear a little more.
Yeah, that's about it. I guess from a guy's point of view, it's like, how much conflict is really getting towards somewhere where it's going to go somewhere? Or how much, or is it really a sign like, this is like time like to move on, like this is not working, this is time to stop?
Well, and this is Drew, right?
Uh-huh.
Drew, are you thinking mostly about in terms of, an individual fight in a relationship? Like, is it time to move on from this fight? Or are you asking the question of how do I know if it's time to move on because the whole relationship feels too hard?
I would say the pattern of fighting, like the template.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I've seen this before. How many times do I have to see this template before it's like, no, something deeper needs to change or need to move on?
Good question.
Yeah. And I'm curious, Drew, is this a pattern that you're seeing within a specific relationship, or is it a pattern that you notice that sort of the same thing coming up in with you as the common factor in different relationships?
Well, I'd like to say it's this one relationship where I feel like the other person regresses a bit into her little girl kind of a state when times get tough.
Okay. So I think Drew's getting at what is a question in kind of every fight in every relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You already teed it up for us, Drew, which is, you know, what's going on underneath it? You've kind of said it in a different way, which is like, is it worth getting at what's going on underneath it?
Right.
And I'm finding myself hard-pressed to imagine a scenario in which it's not worth it to get at what's underneath it. I guess my default in relationships has sort of been like, I can work anything out. I can deal with anything. We can solve anything. It's really just a matter of how much work am I willing to put in it and what are the goodies on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're with somebody that you can't see enough goodies coming out of that really difficult work of figuring out what's going on with a fight, you know, if you sense that your values are different or, you know, even if you resolve this one thing, it's just not worth the cost of that. That's something totally different. But I just always think it's fascinating to figure out what's really going on with me as someone's got something going on with them and how the two are interacting. So I'm inclined to want to invest more.
I agree with that. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about what the pattern is, Drew, that you see repeating, that you want to get under.
Yeah, let's see. Because I want to be fair, of course. I would say it's this person's perhaps unfinished business affecting her ability to be present in an argument or discussion or fight or something, so that, like, I feel like there can't be, like, there's no progress, or it feels like can't have, like, there can't be discussion. It's like the emotional unfinished business, like, takes over her ability to, like, look at things maybe a little more even on an even keel.
Okay. Yeah. And as men and women, we have different ways of withdrawing from an argument,
mm-hmm.
and different responses to a partner withdrawing. So this is really interesting. It sounds like maybe you're getting kind of I don't know for sure if you're getting someone who's kind of like directly stonewalling and saying, I'm not going to go there, I don't want to do this, or if it's just more like you're getting kind of the blank passive, not going to engage kind of response. What's kind of the character of that? Okay.
Definitely, I'd
say this. And so what happens with you when that's what the person you're dealing with is giving you?
I think what I hear back is that I'm being too logical or analytical, or that I'm not, like, there's an energy shift with me in the sense that she doesn't feel like I'm hearing her or in a place to, hear her or be with her.
Yeah. So in some other Blog Talk universe, she's telling some other set of hosts, he's really not present with me in our fights, probably.
Yeah.
I think
you're
right.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just noticing, even right now, Drew, it's hard for me to know how to coach you in this because I don't have a complete grasp on it. And I think this is actually about presence, too. Like, if I were calling in with this question, the way that I would phrase it would be like, so here's the fight that happens. You know, I say something I don't like about the house, and then she sort of glazes over a little bit. She's not necessarily making eye contact. She's not talking much. And then I start saying, like, kind of mean things back at her. You feel how that's sort of like it's present and you can know what's going on when I say that?
For sure. I can share more, I think, yeah. I'm happy to.
Yeah.
If that works.
Well, and if I can just hypothesize, if it's a conversation you've already had about you being logical in the face of whatever her complaint is, I can sort of imagine you not wanting to go into, like, here's the point by point, you know, whatever. So it's I'm guessing that you've learned sort of new tools, you know, lately in your journey to be more emotionally aware and present, and, uh-huh. And you're in kind of just like that new skin sort of phase of like trying those things on. And
yeah,
I guess.
Absolutely. There's something to that, me engaging in new ways with some of my new tools and so she's seeing a new part of me. I also don't like, if I feel like I do try and be too poignant with some of those tools, I sense that she feels that sort of strength. That's where I feel like she may regress a little bit into kind of pulling back or withdrawing in a way that makes it really hard to get back in there. Like, oh, how about I come over and we meet face to face? And she'd be like, no, I don't feel like we're in the same space. And then it would be something like, well, but I hate how we argue. There's no way I feel trapped. I feel like there's nothing I can possibly do to get like forward. Anything.
Yeah. This feels familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just very, very much kind of ripped from the headlines of my recent experiences. And I guess in the spirit of kind of some of the recent work we've been doing around the foundation, just in terms of your development, it sounds like you may need to exercise a more masculine pull of power and just say, look, that's fine. You could not want to talk, but the consequence is going to be that this is going to fizzle. Like, if I haven't heard from you within 24 hours and we don't deal with this, you know, I'm unwilling to continue. Or,
right.
You know, like,
I hear
this,
you, so.
This isn't going to work for me.
Yeah.
This isn't how I want to be in relationships. Something I found myself saying is, like, this doesn't even feel like a relationship. You know, like,
uh-huh.
To meet a minimum criteria of a relationship, you're going to have to talk to me. And it's like a basic thing, but I think that's one of the hardest things when we're all out there, like, putting ourselves out and see me, love me, affirm me. You don't want to say those things that are going to possibly get somebody to be like, you're right, I don't want to do that, or I don't want you enough to do this thing that's uncomfortable. But that's really what
uh-huh.
it comes down to is, what's your standard,
well,
Drew?
Well, when I trot that out, it gets traction, like you say, but so that will, so it's like, okay, so like space for maybe 24 hours or whatever. And then next time we were like re-engaging, now there's this idea that now I've like contributed to her hurt because I've like piled on this waiting game to it. Like, it's like it feels like a more sophisticated way I'm getting like trapped. So I'm like, damn it. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the getting trapped.
Well, okay, so like you said, I'd be like, well, we have to talk. Like, I can't see myself in a relationship where when there's a fight or something, I can't come over, but yet I'm getting accused of arguing and only being on the phone. Like, I can't be in a relationship like that. We have to be serious about moving past that or whatever. And let's see. And then so time passes 24, like one or two days. And then the moment we're back into the moment that temperatures rise again, I feel like I get blame or shame for that. I'm leaving her in a hurt place or a sad place for that extended period of time. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with that.
Okay. Well, one thing that I'm hearing Drew, though, is that what you said wasn't the same thing as what Kate said about holding the pole. Did you hear a difference in sort of Kate's pole and your pole?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me take that in. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Then, I guess.
Right. Well, what Kate said was you know, pretty much this is what I need as a minimum requirement for a relationship, and you can choose not to talk with me, and the consequence is that things are going to fizzle if I don't hear from you in 24 hours. It was much firmer, you know, give or take the ultimatum that's in there with the 24 hours, it's a much firmer stance. And the reason, I've been bringing it back to your communication. The reason for that is that's the only thing that you can control. You can control who you are and how you are in this relationship. And if it's not one you want to be in, you can move on to the next relationship. But you're not trapped in it. You know, there's no victim here.
Right.
And I think if you shift your own stance to say, do I want to be in this or do I not want to be in this? Here are the ways, if these conditions are met, I do want to be in it, and just hold from that place of, sort of rise out of the victimhood of it and see this is really, you will naturally hold that firmer pull. And if you don't get satisfied in this relationship, it'll be a practicing of that muscle, and you're much more likely to get satisfied in another relationship down the line.
I totally agree. And the other piece of the victimhood is you're describing someone who thinks that you telling your truth is some act of aggression or hurting her in a way. And, there are a lot of shades that we can look at on this, but my guess is you want to be with a more robust human being than that, that if you have, you raise a complaint or a legitimate, situation in which you feel hurt, you don't want to be with someone who's going to resort to the kind of name-calling, victim-based approach of, you're escalating this again so that I feel hurt. It's like, our perspective kind of from an existential standpoint is like, I don't hurt you. If I walk into Rachel's office and level some complaint, she doesn't get to say, oh, you hurt me so much. I was just opening my mouth and, sound waves hit her eardrums. And she reacted the way she reacted. And she gets to choose whether she's going to be like a robust human being who goes, ouch, what's true in that, what's not, or gets to be a little girl victim. She does the former, usually. She takes responsibility. And it sounds like that's what I would want in a relationship, and it sounds like that's the piece you're not getting. You're getting someone who's kind of in that blamey, victimizing herself space. And as Rachel said, the way to get out of the drama triangle, which is what we call this whole thing, is to take responsibility, to take no responsibility for that which is not your responsibility, and to take 100% responsibility for what is. So yes, you're the major variable. Reaction?
Yeah, that's good. That's great. I'm definitely taking that in. And I've kind of feel that at some level too. It's like, that's this person acting this way is something that I kind of need them to move past as you described. So I feel a little bit validated. I feel validated and affirmed by those things that you're sharing. So I like Rachel. I think you pointed out the difference, the subtleties in the things I'm saying and the stand I'm saying and the line I'm kind of making to make her responsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Drew. I'm looking forward to hearing about it. Will you call in and tell us how it goes?
Awesome. Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
All right.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Drew.
Yeah. Well, we've got another caller on the line. So we're going to hear from Andy. And Andy's asking, am I bringing up satisfaction or trying to get out of the relationship because I don't want to be bridled? So, Andy, tell us more.
Yeah. So circumstance, the dissatisfaction, I'm bringing up the dissatisfaction, it's actually being met with a very responsible manner, and then finding that this is a solvable matter, but then I keep bringing up more dissatisfaction. I just want to get out of this because I don't want to be actually in this relationship because that now means commitment to long-term or fears of that sort of thing. And I kind of have on the call, there's a timeline. It's 3 to 4 months that this will happen where it's nope, don't want to do this anymore, next. And it's usually around the context of, I'm starting to tell more truths, bringing up this dissatisfaction. And as I'm taking more responsibility for things, I'm actually coming across in a very truthful way. And it's not now met with okay, we're just going to break up. More oh man, now we can work on this. And I'm still like, nope, I want to run. So, and that, to me, like, so that's that bridal thing. Like, the wild horse just want to stay run wild and baiting and not in a committed thing.
Yeah.
I guess I'm wondering if we've, if there's a misanalysis about who's the horse here.
And say more.
Well, it's similar to Drew's question. It's like, Andy, it doesn't actually sound like anyone is trying to bridle you. It sounds like you're more the horse trainer in this scenario, who's, you know, trying to, as Drew was working with, like, negotiate the standards for your satisfaction in a relationship. And no one's paying you to do this job. So it gets annoying. It gets difficult. And, like, my guess is just that there's, and this is based on my own experience, my guess is that it's not just like, oh, my God, she's trying to control me, but it really is like, okay, this is the reality of relationships. If I'm really going to be in a relationship, it's this level of fight basically every moment, every day, for the rest of the time we have together. Whether that's 3 days or 30 years, like, there is a reality that sets in when you're in that real relationship of engagement that's like, this is my life. This is the work.
Yeah.
Reaction,
so, I mean,
Sandy?
The commitment, so it's like, am I committed to this level of fight or this level of relationship? Yeah. And then that's kind of like, do I stay in it if it's, you know, that it, like, yeah, that's where, like, I get, because, like I said, it's every 3 months I choose no, even if it, you know, could be satisfying to me. So it's like, what is the, how am I bringing that into the next relationship? So I choose no on this one because it's not to the level of my satisfaction. And then 3 months from now in the next relationship, I'm for some other different level of reasons. I'm saying no again.
You know, I have a couple different thoughts. But, you know, and I'm just going to say all of them and you can sort of respond. But one is just sort of like, well, let's start here. What do you feel like you're running away from? You said you get the feeling that you're running away.
Hmm. It's the running away from running towards. So it's like, you know, it's like I'm only had like one leg in this whole thing to begin with. So now it's the choice to actually put both feet towards the direction of the relationship. So it's, you know, putting both feet in. So that's kind of the running away part. And then it's running away from the possibilities of what the relationship could be when fully committed to it. Running away from, running away from now I have to be in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship with a person, but do I actually? So... yeah.
Right. So now it's some sort of obligation. It's something now that, like, I'm committed. She expects from me. I have to do this. That kind of feeling that you want to get away from?
Yeah, totally. Very, very clearly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fairly clear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the realm of, like, self-fulfilling prophecies, which we don't need to educate you on, Andy, but for others, you know, the truth is that if you believe about relationships that it means being bridled, it means limiting your freedom, it means, you know, some kind of painful situation in which someone is going to expect things of you, you're going to find ways to create situations that get you out of them. You'll build the case. You know, for what's wrong with her, what's wrong with the relationship, and you will find a way.
Yeah, and this is where our approach is that each individual in a relationship be doing their own personal development work. And I know that you know this, Andy, but that's where I would say this is for you to really look at and work with. What is this sense of, like, you know, somebody else's expectations are restraining and hold me back, and I can't, you know, I feel like we're talking about victimhood today. You know, I feel like a victim to someone else's expectations, and I need to be free of it. That would be the place for you to really commit to dig in there in your individual coaching and group work and all your personal development there. And I wouldn't worry so much about, you know, your pattern in the meantime. It's like if you really tackle what's going on with you, the pattern will resolve itself. You know, you can choose to stay in it. You can choose to, you know, to keep leaving it. But if you resolve with what's going on with yourself, eventually your pattern, you know, will change and will resolve as well.
So it's almost like looking at the reaction to the bridled scenario, looking at the, because it shows up in relationship with just groups of people where, like, I commit to being with the group, but I'm not really with the group. I'm just kind of standing around and then running away. But looking at.
It's probably in your business, too, Andy. It's probably everywhere in every area of life if you start tracking it.
One last thing I want to get in there is that I am all for you having high standards.
Totally.
And you sort of realizing something's not up to your satisfaction and then switching. You may have a pattern of sort of getting into a relationship quickly and then leaving it quickly, but I'm not sure how much you've done the exercise of going on lots and lots of dates without, you know, committing or becoming exclusive or going on, you know, more than a few dates with the same person. So in the realm of you being just doing what you want and having lots of experience, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I love that you want to work on the deeper issue, but I think it's both at the same time.
Great.
Yeah, great. I mean, damn it, and totally. cool.
Well, and just to put a kind of final note on it, I think the question is how you were asking questions about how much am I committed to this relationship, how much am I committed to this person. The question is really how much am I committed to my own satisfaction? How much am I really willing to experiment with anything and everything that would move me in the direction of my vision? And how can this person be, a partner in that, in me discovering more of who I am and what I want? So that's what I want.
And that's the distinction, is it's to me. And that's where, because I also feel like I'm getting, like, in the conversation with the person, there's also then, it becomes more about us, and then what, rather than me just sticking to my satisfaction, it becomes to our satisfaction, which is in turn, to me, feels kind of like this mind game of, like, no, this is actually you trying to change me to meet what you want. So that's a good reminder to bring it back to, okay, no, this is about the satisfaction. And then that's an expectation for you, is for you to bring it to yourself and have that satisfaction for yourself. And we're working together in that. Yeah.
That's a helpful distinction.
Yeah.
That it's hard to take the pulse of the us in the relationship, that really what you have to work with is two individuals, each being willing to monitor and fight for their own satisfaction. Thanks. You've educated me, Andy, bringing that back to the fore. So thank you.
Yeah. Well,
cool.
thank you so much for calling in, Andy.
Right on. Thank you, guys.
Great. Well, that's who we have for today.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you both to our gentlemen callers. if you have other questions or want to make contact with us for later shows, you can always email us at hello@rightliving. It's also a good way to find out about other events, tools, tips, other offerings of the Right Foundation that might be interesting to you. Or you can just go get some information yourself at rightliving.com. We're here every 2 weeks, and we're glad you've joined us this time. We'll see you again soon.